Blog Talk Radio.
Slaughter of the Libyan people, you know what I'm saying? Where are the leaders of Africa? You know they can't even solve the problem in Ivory Coast. How they gonna even solve the problem in Libya? It's a serious situation.
I can hear the crowd of people. I can hear the crowd of the children. I can hear the crowd of the world.
What we gonna do? What we gonna do?
Some say I'm controversial. What do you say? You know the truth and I know the truth. What we gonna do about the truth?
Hey, yeah.
Obama in a timeout? I don't know. Sounds like a clown out.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if G. the Bush was around, what would be going on with the crisis around the world right now?
Yeah. I know he put Charles Taylor in a lockup. Now there ain't no way he's gonna clock out.
Yeah, I want to say to our Christian and Muslim brothers around the world, just love one another,
make a better place for our children for tomorrow.
Yeah, you know.
Bismarck on Radio Talk 101.3. I'm sorry for the interruption in the transmission. We had a little technical difficulty, but now we're back on, and it's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Today we're going to be having Mr. Isaac Vaitoba as our guest. He's the newly appointed COS. Chief of Staff of Mr. Alexander B. Cummings, standard bearer of the ANC, and one of the presidential candidates amongst those within the CPP. So keep your dials tuned in. We're going to be speaking to Mr. Isaac Viatoba in a little bit. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3.
Of the Libyan people, you know what I'm saying? Where are the leaders of Africa? You know they can't even solve the problem in Ivory Coast. How they gonna even solve the problem in Libya? It's a serious situation.
I can hear the crowd of people. I can hear the crowd of children. I can hear the crowd of the world.
What we gonna do? What we gonna do?
Child still in the lockup. Now there ain't no way he's gonna clock out.
Yeah, I wanna say to our Christian and Muslim brothers around the world, just love one another, make a better place for our children for tomorrow.
Yeah, you know.
Song. It's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Keep that dial tuned in, because I told you we're going to be having Mr. Isaac Viatoba, COSANC, newly appointed Chief of Staff to Mr. Alexander B. Cummings, Standard Bearer, ANC, Kennedy, CPP. It's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host, Bismarck. Bismarck is on your radio. Yeah, the program Let's Talk on Radio Talk 101.3. And I'm your host, Bismarck. It's a pleasure bringing you these shows.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning. This is Radio Talk 101.3, and this is your host, Bismarck. Is this Mr. Isaac Vitoba?
Yeah, this is Isaac.
You're on live on Radio Talk 101.3, Mr. Tupa.
Nah, that's not proper, my man. You can't call me in the middle of stuff. And you put me right on radio like that. So just call me back in 10 minutes. At least you are giving full notice that you are calling. Is that okay?
I did send you a text. Yeah, that's okay, but I did send you a text.
I didn't
but I'll call you back. I'll call you back.
Call me back in 10 minutes, okay? Yes.
Definitely.
Wonderful. I'm sorry, but call me back in 10 minutes. I got to turn vacuum cleaner off and kind of thing.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm sorry for that, but I'll call you back.
All right.
Yeah, listeners out there, this is Bismarck with Radio Talk 101.3. And that was Mr. Isaac Vi Tupa. You know, it's Saturday morning, and normally the men take care of the household, you know, chores. And Mr. Tupa is such a gentleman, and he's handling his business, taking care of the household chores. But we'll get back to Mr. Tupa in a little bit, in 10 minutes, as he said. You're listening to the program Let's Talk, and today we're going to be discussing Liberian politics leading to 2023 presidential elections. President George Weah is the president of Liberia, and he's the standard bearer of the CDC. And there is a coalition of opposition parties where you have Mr. Alexander Cummings, ANC, former Vice President Joseph Boyka, UP, and Senator Yomri Kanga of LP, and Tobin Nayuri of the ALP. But it seems as if the two most contending candidates are Mr. Alexander Cummings and Mr. Joseph Boyka, former Vice President Joseph Boyka. But before we get back to talking to Mr. Isaac Vi Tupa, the newly appointed COS, Chief of Staff of the ANC, of Mr. Alexander Cummings, we'll play a song for our audience, our listening audience. The song "Every Day Is a Miracle."
Yeah, yeah. Come Father up here. Thank you, Lord, for life.
I can see my dream. Every day it's a miracle. days with the dog and I couldn't see the rock. In my eyes was a need, there was no one I could see. But in my heart I could feel there was something to me. Many days, many nights with a heavy weight of life. I was caught up in the crowd, I was blinded with the light. Doing all the praise that my Lord did. I was living for the world and losing my soul. I went to bed and I woke up to another day. If it wasn't for the Lord, how could this be? Many times when I couldn't even identify, for the fear that the man would come and take my mind. I would think of my dad who used to teach me the Bible. Now that he's gone, I can still hear him. I can see him in my dreams every time I'm in pain.
Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck. Yeah, Bismarck is on your radio. Yeah, I love this song, Every Day is a Miracle. Yeah, you know, the people of Liberia, they're wishing for a miracle, you know, and that miracle is a leader, a true leader, a leader that would lead Liberia into prosperity, that will lead Liberia into the 21st century, into the technological age, you know, that will regain the reputation of Liberia in the international world, you know, kind of leader. Liberia is looking for a clean leader with no corruption, has never been involved or accused of corruption, earn his education, earn his way up into the working world, all the way up into the corporate world, you know, that has earned his money, place in society, has a philanthropic organization that caters to the needs of the Liberian people. That's the kind of leader Liberia needs. That is Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. And that is one of the candidates amongst the candidates within the opposition CPP. But yet and still, Liberians refer to Mr. Cummings as a stranger. You know, I just can't understand why they keep saying this man, you know, he hasn't been here too long. You know, he only wants to be president, nothing else. And Mr. Cummings has spoken of these things, you know. Mr. Cummings always said, order for him to effectively initiate change, serious change to lead towards prosperity, corruption has to be tackled. Like he says, you have to nip it in the bud. He said there's a hole in the bucket and you have to plug that hole, because that is causing the downfall of Liberia. It needs to change. Liberia can't keep on that kind of trajectory. You know, it's headed for disaster. You know, and here is Joseph Newman Boyka, former vice president, who served 12 years in the former Liberian government headed by former President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, one of the most corrupt Liberian government. And Mr. Joseph Newman Boyka, former Vice President Joseph Newman Boyka, served as Vice President for 12 years as a member of the Unity Party, served under his standard bearer, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who was also a member of the Unity Party, for 12 years in Liberia. Never prioritized electricity, never prioritized clean running water, you know, never prioritized health care, never prioritized education, you know, never really prioritized the people. You know, what happened to the oil wells? What happened to the oil company of Liberia? I mean, went bankrupt, headed by a son of President Sirleaf. You know, so a lot is going on in Liberia, and there's a lot the Liberian people really have to evaluate before finally making the decision to vote for a president. Because I'm telling you, if you repeat the same mistake, Liberia is not going to change. It's going to get worse. But if you do the right thing and elect the right person, Mr. Alexander Cummings, definitely see change, a change towards prosperity, an inclusive government, you know, inclusive of the people. But we're going to discuss a lot about Mr. Cummings with Mr. Isaac Vatupa, who's the newly appointed chief of staff. And Liberia has a serious situation. Hello? Yes. Good morning, Mr. Isaac Vatupa. Newly appointed.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. This is Bismarck with Radio Talk 101.3. Sorry we interrupted your household choice. We know it's Saturday morning, and that's the activities of the men in the home. So I'm very sorry. Yep. And you being such a gentleman. I'm sorry, and sorry to Mrs. Tokwa, you know, but you being a gentleman, that is an example to Liberian youth, you know, what it is to be a gentleman in the home. But we're happy to have you this morning, Mr. Tokwa, newly appointed Chief of Staff to Mr. Alexander Cummings, standard bearer of the ANC and candidate CPP. Good morning, Mr. Tupa. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm very good. Bismarck, what's your full name?
It is Bismarck Lowy.
Okay. Nice meeting you, bro.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, man. And, you know, we people are kind of excited about your newly appointed position with...
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's good.
Well, we've been doing kind of survey about you, you know, and there's a lot of anxiety going on about your newly appointed position. And knowing you from the CDC, how you worked hard with others to put Mr. President Weah where he is today, that shows your hard work. But we have a lot of questions for you today. And we'll start off first by, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, what do you want to know about my beginning days, about my academic days, or my professional?
just a little synopsis of your political beginning tonight.
All right. Okay. So... I'm a very objective person, and Well, what's the tenor of your listening audience? Are they regular people like me, or are they the intellectuals, or what?
They are mixed.
Mixed, okay. All right. So,
yeah, mixed. And you have a lot of Liberians listening also.
All right, cool. I have been an objective person. I am an objective person, and I didn't really subscribe to the whole political party, being a member of a political party. I was always independent. And then, I just had a sense of consciousness and a sense of a better Liberia from my very early stages. So I just was an advocate, a perpetual advocate, just advocating for the right thing with my friends, with people I met, organizations I was in. You know, I'm also focused on building institutions. So I always been that way. But I never joined a political party until 2009. You know, I just used to observe, write articles, be on the different listservs, pointing out holes in arguments on both sides of the, you know, whatever there were, both sides or multiple sides. But in 2009, some of my friends harassed me for nearly a year, from 2008, to join the CDC. And I felt the philosophy of the CDC to provide opportunity for every Liberian to be able to live an affordable life was very attractive. And, that's what I still believe in today, that what we're supposed to do as a nation. We've got to take care of all our own, everybody, disenfranchised people today who are out there living in, like, the worst situations. We have to look out for them. There has to be some kind of social safety net. But at the same time, we've got to put people to work in productive capacities to produce. So I hold those things very sacred as my core beliefs when it comes to development in Liberia. So I felt I would have gotten out with the CDC. I joined the CDC as a regular member. Then I became the acting financial secretary because the position was open. After a little while, elections came up in 2010. I ran for vice chairman of operations. I mean, in the USA, our position is deputy versus vice, right? So deputy chairman for operations, I won. The next election, then our chairman left. So there's an extension clause that's in the Constitution. So the deputy for administration went up to chairman, acting chairman. I moved up to administration. And then the next election, he didn't run. I ran, and I became the chairman. So I went through the ranks, the CDC. I was engaged very much in moving the party to a level of respectability. When I joined in 2009, the major labels for the CDC were hoodlums, thugs, hooligans, anything negative you can think about. But we worked. We brought credible people on board. We established a high level of respectability among people because we started focusing on the issues rather than the persons or insulting people as was, characteristic of most of the people. And, to some extent, you can't control everybody. But if we as a people can focus more on issues than trying to attack individuals or trying to just be degrading or denigrating to each other, our democracy will really grow and expand, So that's why I was focused on it, and I was able to be successful. I mean, 2011, obviously, we didn't have success. We had the potential for that, but, the second round, the November 7 incident and other things, caused us to not be able to win the elections. So we struggled and then continued to serve. I served two terms as chairman, 2012 to 2016. And then I did a wonderful transition to the guy who succeeded me, Mr. Ado Zagama. He himself did a wonderful job. And then he turned it over to the guy who was actually my vice for operations back then. So basically, I had two successors from my position who were groomed under my administration. And today, see what CDC USA is after those individuals had left. It's like a shell of the organization. So we continue our political advocacy. We're successful in 2017 with the elections. Unfortunately, when 2018 came around and the CDC had won, things changed. The primary goal we had set to try to make a difference for our people shifted to individuals trying to you know, for the self-aggrandizement, can get property and all of that stuff. And we tried internally for a couple of years. It didn't work out, so we went independent. I was an independent candidate in the Montreal elections, and that was basically me coming out and establishing myself as my own brand. And then over the last few months, since after the election, I've been engaged in discussions with different political parties, trying to see, and different political actors, trying to see where I should go. And based on, you know, the preponderance of evidence available to me in terms of agenda, in terms of key platform items, in terms of, you know, momentum and direction, and who can govern best, I felt that the ANC was the best option for me to attend the National Congress. And I was just fortunate coming in the door that Mr. Cummings saw it fit to appoint me as his chief of staff. So that's why I am today.
Okay, that's great. But what led you to the CDC that, you know, ended up supporting George Weah into the presidency? What led you to the support of
There were a combination of things. One was the philosophy that CDC was espousing, right? Provide an opportunity for every, you know, for every librarian to be able to have an affordable life. If they want to work, they want to put in the time, the environment will be created for them to get there. The second thing was, you know, I've known George for a while. I mean, back in the day, we used to hang out in New York. So, you know, hanging out, we used to have conversations and discussions. And the future of the country was among them. And at that time, he had not declared any intent to me. And I was like 86, 87, 88, you know, when he used to come from France to the U.S. for vacation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we never discussed him, anything about him being president, just his love for the country and other stuff like that. So I said this was somebody, as much as he didn't have the education or the competence, you know, or the experience at that level to be president, I just said his love of country was sincere, and he will make a difference if he gets there in the position. And he had been clear that he gets there, he will get the best around him and be able to move the country forward, you know. And I didn't really, you know, people individual life and the public life sometimes are two different things. You know, everybody can do their thing when it comes to the whole woman business moving around, but there was nothing I saw about, you know, corruption or condoning corruption that I felt would be as pervasive on our Georgia government as it is today. So, you know, being the standard bearer of the party from the time I got there, willing to concede to Trumpman in the best interest to see how we move the country forward for the 2011 election, and then still being the preeminent leader in the party, you know, he was the obvious choice for 2017.
Okay. So why did you leave the CDC?
It was clear that our political or our ambition for that bill was different. Like I said earlier, you know, when in 2018, when we won the elections,
right,
it didn't seem that we were prepared to get the best employers among Liberians to lead the government, you know. The appointments that were being made, how the government was run, how George was focused on, you know, I don't know, 17 or 49 apartment buildings or whatever, rehabilitating his nasty area, other people in government seeking property, McGill getting in that scandal with the loan for building his house, and just everything else, the way things were, you know, just started off, you know, the Eaton loan, the Beaumont loan, all of those things. It just was like a BM kind of operation, a scam operation. And internally, we're fussing about it, you know, going back and forth. They mop up, which was very stupid in my opinion, but Senator were there making argument for it. I'm bringing in one esoteric paper from somewhere that conventional central bank mechanisms and policies, you know, and decisions don't work.
Yes.
To justify those kind of nonsense, you know, it's impossible. And I'm not the kind of person to defend wrong. Like I told you before, I'm objective. Even my mom does something wrong, I can tell my mom she did something wrong. So we're more about, you know, being a part of a political party that is not in the best interest of the Liberian people. So obviously in the background there was a lot of noise going on between us about what direction the optic, how things look with regards to, you know, all the properties, you know, scrambling, some of the appointments that were being made, like McGill's sister not even understanding what fiscal policy is and being made, you know, Deputy Minister of Finance for Fiscal Affairs, you know, those kind of nepotistic things. I think I just, as a person, you know, I don't really appreciate or don't endorse. So those are part of the reasons why I left the CDC eventually, because I was hitting my head against the wall, trying for us to change direction and be able to do the right thing for the people.
How would you grade President Weah and the present government?
Well, there's so many areas, right? If I had to just get one grade, it'll be F to D minus. I'm a high grader, to be honest with you. The entire governance system has kind of collapsed. You know, it's like nothing straight. It's like everything is breaking down around us. No control, no real governance, no handling of the state. And that's not, you know, how things should be.
Didn't you think that George Weah was incompetent and unqualified to handle or tackle the serious issues of Liberia and facing the Liberian people?
Well, I just told you, I didn't feel he was, like, competent enough to do it, but coming from where he came from, and which could have been a mistake, because actually by the time he was 20 years old, he was really out of that environment, he was living extra lives. So I don't even know whether he remember where he came from in terms of the struggles that people go through and how hungry our people are, how some of them, you know, when they wake up in the morning, they even know where their foster room would come from, where their first meal would come from, and all that stuff. So he's removed from all of those things. And I just thought, because I stay grounded, I stay connected to the fact that, you know, when we were up Ashmore Street, we didn't even have outside bathroom, we didn't even have inside bathroom at a point, so now I just go down to the beach to go toilet. So all of those things, I stay connected where I want to make a difference for my people for that. And I felt something similar with George. You know?
Right.
But it just never clicked. You know, I don't see it happening. I see he wants to cut ribbons and make show for rules, but are those rules really good rules? Are those rules, do they have the right economic impact? Has there been economic assessment impact done with those things, to economic, you know, impact assessment done to see if those rules would bring an economic corridor that will change the life of the people around there? It will create some level of you know, centralization in those kind of communities, and at the same time have maybe some effect on decentralization. You know, I don't think all those things are considered. It seems like these rules are just opportunities to give contracts and be able to get kickbacks on contracts. So the quality of the rules sometimes they suspect, the cost of the rules are suspect, you know. So it's like no transparency in this government for most things, and that's a problem.
But, you know, we'll get to that. That involves the Chinese also with those, you know, low quality, you know, assistance.
But listen,
like
the Chinese people, according to what I honestly know, they got every level of quality. It's up to you who trying to get something from them.
Well, that's true too. That's true too.
You can determine that. You can go to China. They will get the shirt that cheap. They will get the shirt that expensive. If you buy the cheap shirt, or you got money for the expensive shirt, you go buy the cheap shirt and pocket half of that money. It's on you, and that's what's happening a lot to me in terms of the level of quality. That's one. Then two, we are supposed to have our own people who are project inspectors, project monitor, project managers, looking at the quality of work. You know, and one thing I know, for instance, there was one Liberian who was managing the airport work. If you compare the work at that airport with some of the other road work and who else was managing it, that's a big contrast. I believe the airport was well done. It was well managed. The runway of the airport, you know, met the international standards, the thickness of the runway, the smoothness, all of those things. But you go look at some other roads that are newly built, and the same thing happened under Ellen government too. It's not like it's only under We Are government. You know,
that's true.
So
that's
we got to be honest with each other when we're talking about these things.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Both sides. Okay. Now that you've been appointed by Mr. Alexander B. Cummings, you know, candidate, the standard bearer of the ANC candidate CPP, you know, to the new position of chief of staff. What does the appointment and new job with working with the opposition now, you know, and the ANC means to you?
I think it means a lot. I think what I bring to the table and with the different people already, you know, in place in the CPP and based on the track record under Mr. Alexander Cummings' leadership as the first chairman, you know, of the CPP and the amount of seats won, I think that demonstrates to the Liberian people that the CPP can be very strong if the CPP stays united. So it's just about how can I fit in? How can I help? There's a lot of great people already in the ANC I'm discovering, you know. So I bring my own set of skills in terms of my passion, my effort, my ability to pick up things quickly, my ability to coordinate and integrate and facilitate. At the same time, you know, talk to different people and be able to engage any level. I can go, you know, West Point, Zimbabwe, anywhere and talk to the people there and be comfortable and engage them. I can go riverside in the bush and engage the people in a hot weather. Ain't got no water. Yeah, maybe I would get my bottle of water or something, but I'll be able to engage them, you know? And that's the kind of relationship we want to build. That's the kind of thing that we are all Liberians. You know, work together. And if somebody is not at that level, try to elevate them, help them. And that's what I believe in. Most times, I try as much as possible to help people, but I'm very, like, direct in the posture, you know? I mean, if you're not capable to do something, I'm not expecting you to do it. I will not let you do it. I can help teach you up to be able to perform at that level, but you got to be willing to work and be willing to learn, you know? So everything nearly goes two ways.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And those are important factors. How can you make a difference this time for the ANC and Mr. Cummings, you know, compared to 2017 election result?
Okay. So that's the election results definitely will be different, right? Mr. Cummings was a newcomer coming in probably 18 months in the door up to elections.
Right.
Mr. Cummings has been around longer. He's a face that people know now. It's just about sharing him with people that he can really talk to people. He can get in there, shake some people's hands, just sit down with the men there. They can be drinking whatever they're drinking, and just lecture in, you know, and he has the ability to do that. So it's like, let's take him to the people, let him decide for themselves. The mayor who say he won't be president, what is he like? You know, what kind of experience does he share with me? Oh, it may be right to the Doma, Nukutani Point 4 there. You know, that's where he grew up. Oh, yeah. Oh, the man, so the man played football in the day, too. Yeah, the man played Tabela in the day. The man told what he said, you know. So all those things about how he connects with the people will give the people that opportunity to engage Mr. Cummings. So ask their own question. Babe, what do you can do for y'all, brother, now? So what really you can do for us? You know,
right.
And Mr. Cummings will be able to break down what his vision is to that level of any individual that wants to understand and wants to know how his presidency impacted life. And that's what I think most Liberians should be thinking about. We shouldn't be voting on emotional, on popularity, on somebody that they don't want to get in the position they've been there. No. Right now, we are talking about this election is an existential thing because if we miss the boat yet, we're going further downhill. And we can't afford that. Our children are not learning properly. Our people who have the potential, they're not given the opportunity to go and improve on our potential and come and serve their country. No.
Exactly.
What is it? About 70 to 75% of Liberians want to leave the country. When you do a survey of the youth, you ask them whether they want to stay in abroad or go somewhere. Most of them won't go. Liberians, that's what happens to us. It's going to be. Yeah, we got to change that mindset, you know, and people got to want to work to change the environment. People in the diaspora got to change their mindset, too. They can't just think they're all better than the people on the ground. It's about integration. We got to work together and then transform our country. If we don't come together, we don't unite, we don't try to build, and be able to be an attractive place that visitors and our own people can come to, then we're not serious. And it takes leadership to do that. It takes experience, managing budget. It takes being decisive in taking the hard decisions to cut certain things. You know, we got to have a leader who will not go and do a quid pro quo with the legislature. You know, oh, you say you're going to tell it thousand, tell it thousand, and then I will, you know, keep the mansion budget going to build a mansion, or I will, you know, keep my wealth on, you know, allocation here, and I will keep, no, this is about the country. It's not about certain individuals and privileges. So Mr. Cummings is not looking to engage in those kind of things. He wants to build, 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 and that's why it attracts me to him. He want to make build a 21st century Liberia. What does it take for us to get to that level of Rwanda, you know, Botswana, and some of those other developed, even Ghana in West Africa yet, to get to that level? Ghana now are way behind us. They used to come to us. You know, back in the day, they used to come to our country for school, people from South Africa or other places. So how can we make that happen again? We can make that happen again, starting with ourselves, looking deep inside and say, what kind of leadership do we want? Because leadership matters. You know? Yeah, I probably didn't recognize that before as much as how for a country, especially where we are, we need somebody who can really manage it, somebody who has the exposure, the experience, the network, the ability to absorb variety, diverse information and be able to come to a leadership decision about them. Not somebody who's been pulled by the nose, or not somebody who people may have to read for, you know? So it's very important, and that's what attracts me to Mr. Cummings. And in my own situation, I'm an extension of Mr. Cummings, you know, in terms of my job and my role, you know, because just in my capacity, the amount of people who are reaching out to me for all the different things, you know, I have to help Mr. Cummings and be a buffer for him and an extension of him. Not everything got to reach to him, but not everything got to be kept away from him. He got to know the producers. He got to know people who are creating content. He got to know people who are contributing to the efforts. He got to be able to make those sound decisions that way, that elevate up to that CEO level, like within any kind of major organization, because that's what ANC is, a major organization, like a corporation, and that's something he has done before. And it is not much different from government. You know, you got all these different units, subunits that integrate and work together to make it happen, to make things functional. There are so many different dependencies. This ministry got to do X, Y, Z before that ministry can do this. This agency got to do that before that other public corporation can do this. So how all those dependencies are worked and being able to be completed, and somebody have an insight, an idea about how this whole thing operates. Somebody who brings systems, who brings processes, who understand the impact of technology on advancing things and facilitating them to be easier for people to do better. I believe that's what's coming. So, you know, it's something that we have to do.
But you see, Mr. Tukwa, you emphasized on something very important. You know, we covered the past government, the past presidency, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, former president Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, along with former vice president Joseph Boyka for 12 years. And we covered the election and all of that. But something we noticed during the campaigning of Mr. Alexander Cummings and his team, you know, He wasn't given that opportunity to reach out to the people, for people to be able to do exactly what you've been saying. Sit with him, talk with him, ask him these questions, you know, get to know him and let him feel that they, you know, he's relatable, you know. Those things were factors that didn't exhibit during the previous campaign that we noticed, and now you have spoken on these things, and those are very important things that you need to really capitalize on to get Mr. Cummings to where he needs to be, to the presidency, you know, because I keep hearing, we keep doing the
we keep doing the polls and we keep hearing, you know, doing the surveys and we keep hearing that. And it's strange to me, you know, that Liberians keep calling Mr. Cummings a stranger, you know. And
okay, so that's a good statement,
you know,
right?
It's very strange to me, you know.
But you got to understand where it comes from, though. It comes from people who are insecure of Mr. Cummings' connection to the regular people. But
right.
The fact that this status quo that we're looking at, the way government exists today, Mr. Cummings will shake that whole foundation, that whole paradigm, and new things will be in place. Maybe that's why they're labeling him a stranger. Because they don't want somebody to come and upset that apple cart that, you know, they've been operating with. But what makes somebody who is a, you know, 100% Liberian, grew up in Point Fu, grew up in Fiamma, went to demonstration school, went to CWA, went to Cuttington, came back after worked with, you know, the bank in Liberia, they had stranger.
Right.
No, but that's
no,
a label.
No.
So now,
exactly.
Mr. Cummings will go to the people over the next few months, sit with them, engage them, and let him tell him what's strange about him, whether he got a horn on his head or he got ear like somebody from Mars. I don't know. So that's just a label that doesn't apply. There is no way somebody like a Mr. Cummings can be considered, you know, a stranger. But sometimes political labels, or except you bust them and break them, they tend to hold.
Yeah.
So you hear people say, oh, well, when you know the man now. The man coming to you. In so many different forms, he'll be coming to you.
Right, it's a propagandist agenda, you know.
To divide the
agenda for him, you know. But look, you know, when I read about Mr. Cummings and researched him, you know, I said to myself, "Wow, this is a blessing for Liberia. This is a blessing for Liberia." You know, a man with that kind of bio and resume, this is a blessing for Liberia. Clean, earn his education, earn his status in the work field, up to the corporate world, you know, up to vice presidency of one of the Fortune 500 companies in the world, you know, control billions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of people around the world. I mean, this is a blessing for Liberia to turn. I mean, this man can turn things around in the right direction towards prosperity. Why is it the Liberian people can't see this? You know? So,
again, part of it is how you break that information down, right? So,
right.
And you know that we can let the people know, yeah, you say the man are Coca-Cola seller, but he's the best Coca-Cola seller you can find, and he can help you sell on a wheel market Coca-Cola the best way possible. Because we got to break it down for our people. Sometimes we even use the labels that they try to pull in against them.
Exactly.
Mr. Cummings, sometimes even for the typical person here in America who got exposure, who works in corporate America, they probably don't understand what Mr. Cummings has achieved in terms of corporate America. But when
exactly.
you know there's a glass ceiling, people you are better than are promoted ahead of you. You know, and the politics involved, the relationships you got to build, how you got to manipulate people sometimes to just get your promotion.
Right.
For somebody to excel, consistently
exactly.
rising in corporate America is an incredible feat. Not only for a black
exactly.
person, but for a person coming from Africa, from Liberia.
Yep.
You know, and the coming is
yep.
authentic, he's real. He ain't changed his accent to no Siri, nothing.
No.
They talk the same way, he's real, but he's a very smart man, very decisive
mm-hmm.
when it comes to making a big decision, and he's willing to take the blame and wait for it, you know?
Right.
People, we have to take that to our people, let them understand. You're a market woman, yeah, Mr. Cummings, understand. He understands supply chain. You know what supply chain is? Supply chain is from the origin of a product to it getting under your shelf there. He understands every step along the way. The whole
right.
production process, the technical process, the manufacturing, the transportation involved in everything. So Mr. Cummings will share that knowledge with people. He will bring that thing down, break it down in a simple way that people can understand where he comes from, what he's able to deliver. So he will sit with his people and talk to them.
How can he make the regular market woman to an importer? How can he make the beginner who just sit on the street now be able to develop their skills that someone can work in manufacturing, somebody can work in something called business process operation, that is, you know,
right,
all these call centers. Wow. You see how right, beginner not smart enough? We already can talk
close to
the boy America. We can have, you know, business process operations there. Who knows some of these big businesses that need customer services operation that they can say, wait now, why are you using Malaysia? Why are you using people in India? You're
mm-hmm,
bringing the business here. I got 2,000 people sitting here right now. I got 5,000 people over there. They are capable.
Mm-hmm.
You can do your own test of them. Somebody will have gravitas that can attract CEOs and say, send your people here, let me check my people out.
Exactly.
It's doable. We can transform that country in a few years. Everything will not be done. We got to be honest, right? But in terms
right,
of spending our budget, in terms of turning our economy over, in terms of like dormant aspects of our economy, trying to lift them up, in terms of plugging the holes when it comes to corruption and other things,
right?
That's Mr. Cummings Forte. He can do those things. He has worked in Nigeria. He has worked in South Africa. He has worked in Europe. He worked in America. Yeah. He has a global scope. He understands those things. He's into
right,
technology, he invests in, you know, technology startups and other things like that. So this is a man who is very versed, you know.
Exactly.
And normally I don't praise people. I don't extol the values and the potential of people. You know, I'm a like hard grader, like they say. But it's hard. You can't take away from his accomplishment what he has accomplished. And
right,
if he engages you, you can't take away the fact that he's knowledgeable, he's smart, he's managing and interacting with multiple things, and his response rate for those important things is incredible. So, you know,
mm-hmm,
it's just about, what do we want for our country? Do we want to go down or continue a sliding slope, or do we want to reverse that? Are we looking for the best person that can move our country forward, or are we looking for somebody who has suffered in our mind, or somebody who would just focus on enjoying themselves and aggrandizing for them and their family or their best friends? No.
Mm-hmm.
We need a leader who is self-confident, who
exactly,
understands our country, who understands the geopolitics, who understands the economy, who understands how systems work, and what are the better
mm-hmm,
and best systems for us to implement to move our country forward?
Exactly. You know, a YouTube video, you know, during the campaign of the last election, and there were a couple of Liberians in Nigeria that made that video. And the guy said on the video, look, we're making this video for Mr. Alexander Cummings because it seems like Mr. Alexander Cummings is not the kind of man to boast of what he does for people. But we want the Liberian people in Liberia to know that Mr. Alexander Cummings has been doing a lot for Liberians in Nigeria, you know, during the time he was there. Had done a
mm-hmm,
lot for Liberians during the time he was there. They say every Liberian that went to Nigeria and didn't have a way, you know, fought, you know, didn't have anybody there and, you know, was in a stalemate position, they took them to Mr. Alexander Cummings, and he always was in the, you know, ready to help Liberians to reintegrate into Nigeria, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But have you been fully welcomed by the ANC staff and members? Have you been fully accepted as the new chief of staff?
To a large extent, yes. I mean, there will always be people in an organization who may be unhappy or dissatisfied when somebody considered a stranger or outsider comes in. And that
mm-hmm,
will be expected. Even in your own house sometimes, you can get started from your own children to whoever
mm-hmm,
being going to be like a leader in a different organization, you know, as much
yeah,
as, you know, I'm not like quote unquote an elected leader in the party. I represent Mr. Cummings' seat in most of the different places because he can be all these different places at one time, you know, with
right,
the ANC as one of the fastest growing, as the fastest growing party in Liberia with,
Prentice all over the place, where he having to engage so many different people and stuff. There's so many things that have to be handed down because he can't just handle everything. So some of those things are the coordination around all the things we got to do, media, communications, mobilization, you know, policy, everything like that. Yeah, he needs some support. So that's where I stepped in. He needs a well-rounded person. He needs somebody who has some project management skills. I'm a project management professional, a PMP certified by the Project Management Institute. So I have many of the advantages about the community need, and I think some of the people in the ANC are recognizing that. I'm also, you know, a person who can reach out to people. I'm not a proud person. I got pride. I can reach out to people and engage them. No, I can engage anybody. I don't have to disrespect you. Sometimes people may not like my forthrightness or just being able to say to you, you're wrong, you're right, you know. Not being, you know, quote-unquote political all the time, but, you know, people tend to appreciate you for what you bring to the table, your talent, your passion, your vision. And those are the kind of things I bring, and I will share with people, you know. And I'm not insecure that other people can be better than me or other people can bring a suggestion that I got to take the knee off and put my knee on it, you know. All those kind of, no, that's not
right.
me. I'll be real with people, give them the credit where they do. I'm willing to introduce anybody to Mr. Cummings, you know. Sometimes even the lowest person, it makes a difference. You can't just focus on only the people who are way up there, but the people down there, they too have their own class within the communities, and you got to respect that. So, you know, there will be some people who may have wanted the position themselves and may be disappointed, but to a large extent, I want to applaud the ANC people. They are looking at the ultimate goal. How can we make a difference for Liberia? So they are willing to work with anybody. And Mr. Cummings himself, he proffers a Big Ten theory. He believes we have a Big Ten that everybody can fit in to make a difference for the country, you know.
Right.
But it's also a matter of you being willing to work, you being willing to understand that you have a role to play, focus on your role, execute to the best of your ability, do things that other people can build on, help people when they need help, and then everybody in the ten can be happy. And that's the kind of, you know, mindset that he's trying to create in the ANC. And I think people are buying it because they are welcoming other people as well. You know, I'm calling other people now to say, look, this is where I am. I'm in the ANC. Come and join us, you know. We are trying to do X, Y, Z and see if I can sell the ANC to them.
Right, right. You see, I'm already excited, you know, with your position, your newly appointed position because of your values and principles, you know, and things you've said during the course of the interview, you know, or the discussion, you know, things you stressed on, you know, things that need to be done to get Mr. Cummings, you know, relatable to the people, known by the people, and in the end result, you know, the president of the Republic of Liberia. So I want to tell the ANC folks that, you know, they have a very good CEO. Not that they did have one before, but she had to leave for studies, and the replacement is on point. So, you know, that you are a good choice for Mr. Cummings, and you know,
I'm making everybody come to my show.
Well, I take it. I accept it in advance. But realistically, Mr. Tobar, you are brought in at a critical time in this whole saga for Mr. or Kennedy Cummings and the ANC and the CPP. So, what's your strategy to make the difference in just a few months?
Well, we just talked about some of them, right? This whole issue about
stranger
and relatability, definitely that's the key, right?
Right.
Then mobilizing and membership, you know, people who may not be energized and they are ANC people in different parts of the country. We got to get them excited about the ANC. We got to get them to be like Jehovah Witness, go door-to-door in their communities, you know, have the membership form, get people to sign up. You know, be a part of this thing. This is what we represent. This is what we stand for. This is Mr. Cummings. These are the high-level things that he's looking at. One, our mindset.
Exactly.
How do we change our hearts and minds towards each other, to the, our country, and to the way we can move this country forward with a shared vision? How can we create jobs in this economy? That's what he focused on. How can he bring jobs? Which sectors are the growth sectors? You know, how will he affect infrastructure? How will he affect housing, electricity, water, sanitation, hygiene? How about agriculture? How does he move it forward? Let him be able to tell his story on healthcare, on education, on his own programs, and how he expects to expand STEM, science, technology, you know, engineering, and math, that our children are not just going to LU or AME or other place to do political science or public administration, that we are very smart people, that if we go into the sciences, that's the future. In a short time, you know, hopefully we'll be talking about a STEM program where we're bringing high school graduates, maybe who didn't go to college and stuff, to get into an accelerated science technology program, that the STEM stuff we talk about, the business process operations, that these can be viable candidates for stuff like that. You know, we'll be looking at entrepreneurs in Liberia today. How can, where you are today, how can we help you make it better? Last weekend, I was with Mr. Cummings at something called an assembly for this group called New Vision Fund, where they focus on primarily minority and women-owned businesses. And they bring all the founders together, you know, the founders and CEO for the different corporations, to share the stories, to get better tips on how to market a product, whether your product is a specialty product, whether it's a shelf product, whether it's a volume product, you know, just what is the nature of your business and how can you improve it? Those are the kind of things that, you know, Mr. Cummings brings to bear. That's the kind of expertise and capability he has. So he has to do more of sharing some of those. Yes, it takes a lot, but he has to do some of those things to demonstrate to people in a practical way, look, I can impact your life if you give me the opportunity to do this, you know? So that's where, you know, that's where we are. That's some of the things we bring. And we bring the energy, you know? We are willing to work for our people. Any day we are willing to work and be called upon to do certain things. Yeah. So, you know, that's why we believe that the strategy is basic. It's simple. Go to the people. Let the people know that you are one of them. And I think that message already, you know, every time Mr. Cummings go on the air and speaks, there are more people being attracted to his message, you know, to the ANC, to the CPP, and to the fact that we need a leader of that genre, that level, that capability to be able to move our country forward.
Right. You know, I think you should also add, you know, a lot of town hall meetings, you know, where you can bring these people in from the town, the villages, the cities, all into an environment where they can sit there and Mr. Cummings can sit with them one-on-one, all of them, you know, in the gathering and, you know, talk to them and, you know, be kind of personal and, you know, be able to relate, you know, and they can ask him questions. These town hall meetings they are very effective, you know, especially with what's going on now, Mr. Tuba. You know, you need to, and I can see it in your answers, you know, that you already have those areas targeted, which is very good. But let's get down to the nitty-gritty now. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of the whole thing. You know, because the Liberian people are listening. They say, oh, well, Mr. Cummings, he's promising all these things. Yeah, you know, we know he has this great accomplishment, you know, and all of that. He's promising all these things. He's an administrator. He has been a very, very good administrator. He's worked in the Fortune 500 company as a vice president. He has excelled to one of the highest positions in the United States that he earned honestly, you know. And today wants to be the president of Liberia. He's promising all these good things that Liberia needs, you know, the Liberian people need. What is the difference? Let's differ Mr. Cummings from that of former Vice President Boyka. How do you differ Cummings from Boyka to the Liberian people?
If they've been listening, I was here listening to all the things I said about Mr. Cummings just now. And tell me if you found those same qualities in Mr. Boyka. You know,
we appreciate Mr. Boyka's service to this country, you know, for the Sunday is 40 years, of who then won't say 25 years. Even at 10, 15 years, we appreciate it. But right now, the energy we need, the vitality we need, the vision we need, the scope of absorbing significant amount of information, synthesizing it, you know, breaking it down to the level that you can easily decide. The exposure, the network, the ability to get out there and work for your country and to be transparent and accountable about it to those who are trying to help. That differentiates Mr. Cummings from Mr. Boyka, you know? And yet, they, you know, you're a stranger because the system that we have, the non-system, I should say, because we don't really have a system, is going to be changed. If somebody like Mr. Cummings is given the opportunity to change for the best for Liberia. So we come back to that point. What do we want as a people? Are we going to vote on emotion, going to vote on tenure, or are we going to vote on performance and ability to move this country forward? Are we going to vote on the vision? And let Mr. Cummings say, the best predictor of future performance is past performance.
Right.
You know? So we are clearly asking our brand people to make that decision, to look at factors beyond just our simple emotion, our simple sympathy for people. Or, you know, whether it's tribalism, nepotism, whatever that sometimes other people vote on, no. Let's vote on what's best for Liberia. How do we move this country forward? And all of us get behind that person and say, this is the choice that we want, that we think is best for this country to take us from point A to a clearly defined point B. That's what we need.
That's true. Is Mr. Cummings ready and serious to tackle corruption, most especially bringing the war and economic crimes court?
That's a wonderful question. Mr. Cummings is very emphatic in his position of tackling corruption, of plugging the holes, because the leakages we have, the lenient hand we have with people who, you know, exercising corrupt activities, the lack of system and warning indicators to tell us, you know, that money now reaching to where it's going to reach. You know, this particular system was tampered with. The tracking, the monitoring is not there. So Mr. Cummings is very clear on his stance on corruption. He's very clear on his stance on war and economic crimes code. He believes that those have to, you know, what economic code need to happen. He's very clear on something like what's due to Liberian people. I don't know if you know about this whole 5% equity fund that we as Liberians, all of us, are entitled to in all the oil concessions and oil contracts. But unfortunately, our government went in Babatiwe changed the oil law, the petroleum law for only a few nine companies or so, and the new head of town, so they formed those companies. If we do an investigation or the ownership of those companies, we find who own it. You know, so a few people cannot monopolize the assets, the big bounty, all this wonderful thing that God gave us in Liberia, the oil, the iron ore, the rubber, the cocoa, the whole or natural resource sector. We can't have few people monopolizing it. It's unfair to the rest of the people. We need to give them that opportunity to be a part of this country, help them move up. And that's what Mr. Cummings intends to do.
Right. What will Mr. Cummings do about government officials, high salaries, killing the budget and leaving nothing for developmental projects? Why,
again, it's about prioritizing.
While civil servants are paid little or nothing, $150 a month or $200. Look at the vast disparity.
Mr. Cummings wants equity and equality, you know, in job class, across job classes. The disparity between the lawmaker who not bringing any revenue in, he not in any position to generate energy, making an exorbitant amount of money versus people in key areas. People who are saving lives, people who are educating our people, not even having some kind of balanced level of compensation.
All of those things that are coming and being said here make a strong case for those things to be changed. They have to be changed for our country to move forward. At the same time, plugging. So the plugging, expanding the economy, and being able to prioritize our spending and be able to look at those budget line items and decide, because you know already there's a lot of bunch of fixed stuff in our budget anyway. You know, people
right.
spending money there and I can't. But all of those things will be broken down with. Most likely start from a zero-based budget to see exactly how this country should be run, you know, which agencies and ministries really need the funding to operate, how they themselves can generate their own level of income that actually goes towards the national bottom line. Those things are things that we need to really look at. And unfortunately, it's not happening, you know. There's no transparency. People can't really check into anything, can't really ask the question they want to ask about how we are governing today. You know, most of the agencies and ministries are now reporting, providing annual reports, providing how they're spending the money and all of those things. So we need much, much more transparency for our people, and we need a government that can prioritize the right way, that goes in there, and our prioritization is focused on making a difference in the lives of our people. So
right.
Yes, we're going to focus on those things.
If Mr. Cummings becomes the president, will he audit the former government?
That's just a natural course of doing business. I don't know why people
Thank you
are
very
scared
much.
Of audit.
Thank you
I don't
very
know why
much.
People are scared of audit. Audit is a natural thing. And that one
Thank
of the things I was upset with in the CDC in the early days of the administration in 2018. We needed to
that
do a business audit. It's a major problem. Madam Sally, can I say she gave you X amount? And you over there, you're grading her, say she did 80%, but you're telling her she didn't leave nothing. So that kind of inconsistent messaging that was coming from, you know, and George, we are, didn't make any sense at all to anybody who's rational or anybody who has been in a leadership position in any major organization moving from one period, one leadership to the next leadership. You know you should have got a baseline understanding of where you are. You know you should go to other things. That
right.
was not done. Nope. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're saying somebody has stolen. No, it doesn't mean that.
No.
It just means you need to have appreciation and understanding of where you are, what you are receiving, and how you move forward.
Exactly.
So we definitely will do that, and people will be held accountable. And that's what
right.
needs to happen. If people have not run their government ministers efficiently, they have not utilized the people money for the mandate of their position, they have been, you know, to be called to answer for it. That's very clear.
That's good. That is good. I mean, it's good you clarify it to the Liberian people, you know, because most people think when you don't audit, that means you're fishing for some sort of malpractice.
That's
you know,
true. They said, I wish one. No, it's not wish
yeah.
one. No, I did not want to wish one, Madam Sally, but if you don't know what you have, you know, just take for simple example, if you buy a new horse, they do something called a walkthrough. They show you everything.
Right.
If you just go get a horse, you walk inside. You don't even know where the light switch is. You don't even know where the panel box is. It's something break a trip for you to go turn it back on. You know where
right.
the water pools, the thing are turning on, turning off. How can you even live in a horse that you know how long it will take you to understand? To know
you don't even
what?
Know the true value of the house.
There you go. Thank you. So our people need to understand. We need to know what we have. We need to know what the inventory is. And you're probably right. There may even be assets that we as a country have that this government doesn't even know about.
Exactly.
Because I learned something from some trademark stuff to some other stuff. Some people outside our government still getting money from those things when our government should be getting our money.
Right. Right.
So there's so much stuff that has. There's so much knowledgeable Liberians out there who know things that this government has not reached out to. You know, you can't be insecure that your competent people, you leave them out and don't want them engaged. What is it, credit? No, country first before credit, you know?
Exactly, exactly. You know, and, you know that's why, you know, I listened to Mr. Cummings, you know, and he spoke about Liberian minerals and resources. You know, talking about his government, and government will apply the right value to the resources and the minerals. you know, because we've been exploited greatly, you know, with the value of our resources and minerals, you know, and these are important things to the economy of our country, you know, to Liberia. But what are the priorities of the Cummings presidency and government if Mr. Cummings becomes president? What are the priorities from day one, first 100 days?
Like you said, understanding where we are, right? Getting that baseline.
Right.
Okay. Starting to plug the holes immediately. All the leakages in government, we got to identify them and be able to plug them.
Right.
Prioritizing the budget that we got percentages that focus on the bigger things that we have to do and making the strong case. Yeah, they recently did a harmonization for see how many people were upset, but things really harmonized.
Right.
So that's something that needs to be revisited to adjust that more revenue is not just put in the budget for things that are not applicable, things that are not being done. So budget performance will be a major thing. The money we say we put in there for communications, do all these ministry have website? Do they have internet? Do they do X, Y, Z as is on a budget line, or are people eating this money, right? Then we look at the developmental side. How do we move our market women up? How do we improve their situation? Our youth, with regards to education, with regards to job creation, what are we going? So those are things that have to start being put in place from day one. So a Cummings government comes to the table with clear programs, with clear policies that will impact our people. There's always a lag in terms of the impact, but definitely those things are going to happen.
Will the Cummings government also prioritize and finally get the electricity situation under control and clean running water? Those are elements that are important to investors, millions and billion dollars investors coming in.
Without question, but again, you know, it could be we got to find out who's selling generators, who's selling fuel. Are they sabotaging electricity in order to be able to do that? But we hope that the CISLG lines are coming through from Ivory Coast will be more ubiquitous, meaning more people will have access to those things. So beyond the generation of this power, we have to focus on the transmission and the distribution, which has been elusive for us. We got to focus on, I know there's a whole noise around power theft right now.
You listen to Ambassador McCarthy, right?
I didn't listen to him, but he definitely ruffled some feathers.
The things he stressed on,
Yes. And that's critical, you know, like, right now, I have a friend who helped build a mini transmission system in Bourne County. So how many people are going to benefit from that? All of those things yet to be defined because they have the generation, but getting it distributed to the people directly, you know, how that happens is still up in the air. So there's a lot of work to be done, but definitely the fundamentals for development, for manufacturing, you know, for people to have a healthy life in terms of water and sanitation and hygiene, wash, those are critical elements. And there is money out there for those things. But using the money for the right purposes has eluded us because we have corrupt leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to change, and it definitely changes on our Cummings government. So, look, I'll read the thing for you. Seriously, I got to read it. Because I don't know whether to get mad with it or whether to be happy for it. You know, I didn't really hear what the ambassador said. But the president is right.
A
complete disgrace talking about the message by the ambassador. He said the message by the ambassador was clear, sanguine, and unambiguous. No one wants to retire in a country where the rule of law is either not enforced or non-existent. Why things would be okay for some folks in Liberia, I don't think you are encouraged to retire in Liberia under these circumstances. I don't know why the focus is on retirement in Liberia. What about the people living right in Liberia?
Yeah,
it is
right.
Human nature to reasonably behave when there are consequences and to misbehave when there are no consequences. How do you mortgage your entire future with these kinds of situations? The corporates, which is business, individual, government, Liberia, the cartel, folks inside of LEC conniving with folks outside. This is what you get when folks are inept or unfit to lead. I, along with Ambassador, put the onus on the leadership of Liberia. The warning is clear. Address the situation or risk losing millions of dollars in investments and goodwill from the international community, which has a direct impact on the short and long-term stability of the country. So there's a lot there to digest and break down. You can look at it from different ways, but some of the things in there are very material to how we move forward.
Mr. Tokwa, you know, Liberians have also, I don't know if it's just not being interested in, you know, reading or searching, but there's a lot of things that Mr. Cummings has done since his presence in Liberia. And even during his time with Coca-Cola for Liberians. So can you, for the benefit of the listeners, those who don't know, Liberians who don't know, can you lay out some of these things for them to know what Mr. Cummings has done already?
I mean, going back to 2003, 2004, Mr. Cummings gave, like, what, I believe $50,000 to the College of West Africa. He gave a similar $50,000 to a couple of hospitals and clinics in Buchanan. He has founded a foundation, the Cummings Africa Foundation. Okay? They have put nearly going on to $2 million into Liberia since they were founded. Right?
Right.
And then in the areas of education, health, and agriculture, they have put in about $300,000 just specifically in those areas. He built a STEM school, science, technology, engineering, and math. And the children there, I can't wait to go there to engage some of those young kids. They are extremely smart. And we can't say those are the only set of children. So something like this, he looks to do, expand it, that government can have STEM programs across the country to identify these smart people. We have seen some of these videos where the literally can spell words that most, forget what educated or uneducated, most librarians cannot spell. You know, literally they can do calculations, just you ask them 10 plus 10, this plus this, at very early ages, you know, these young people. How can we identify these smart talents and nurture them that they can really be able to grow their intellect, grow their capability, and be able to make an impact for Liberia? Medical supplies, you know, more than $500,000 worth of medical supplies they have provided to hospitals in Magidi, Bourne, Grand Bassa, Lofa, River G, and Maryland. You know, there are even other counties that he has, you know, donated to. Nima Community College, he helped them construct their science and engineering college. Okay? AMEU, he has given them stuff. Ebola time, he did a significant amount of investment in trying to distribute relief items to people, especially those who are on the front line. He got a scholarship program. He got financial aid program with students at the University of Liberia, students at other institutions. He did a $5 million microloan for women. Okay? The Marketing Association, he donated $10,000 to them for a daycare, you know, for a daycare school. So this is a man who has partnered with AMEU, the African Methodist Episcopal University. They formed the Coca-Cola Institute for Innovation. He's giving scholarships there. He got probably like 30 students on scholarship. A lot of stuff Mr. Cummings has done. He is a strong advocate for women, you know, whether it's marketing, whether it's like manufacturing in terms of having skills to do certain things. He support their participation in trade conferences and stuff like that. specifically one time, you know, getting them to go to Morocco and stuff like that. You know, the YXCs that we talk about when people were paying YXCs. He helped so many students across so many different schools, up to like nearly $110,000, you know, for the YFE. He helped to help students prepare for the Y. He helped develop that, you know. So he's done a lot of things in all different areas. He even gave musical instruments to a church in Harper, worth about nearly $6,000. So that's a lot he has done. The computer lab at Sendo. You know, he's done that. He helped the people in Maryland with a bridge to connect Big Town, you know, to Tupman University. Areas where people couldn't get to. Water projects, probably like 20 to 25 different water projects around Liberia, working with local NGOs in, you know, Montserrat or Nima or Riverside. You know, so he's done a lot for our people. Right now, with the COVID situation, he has like about 6 or 7 hospitals that he's going to be putting, you know, COVID centers in each of those places. So this is a man who has really stood up and say, I will help the Liberian people. He says it clearly every time. I'm lucky. You know, I have been blessed. He doesn't say, I did everything. I did all the hard work. But you know, like we said before, you got to put in work to rise in corporate America to get to that level. But he said he has been blessed. And he wants to get that same opportunity that any child, whether you come from Point Four, you come from Sestose, Yakpatan, you come from Krenku, wherever around the country, even Butuo, wherever you are able to rise up and be able to maximize your potential, get the best out of yourself for you as a child or as an individual and your family. That's why he wants to show our Liberian people that just how he did it, other people can do it. He will create that opportunity. He will improve the schools that each children can be able to identify the talent. Not everybody fall into academics. We got some brilliant people when it comes to creating music, when it comes to acting. So we have a whole ecotourism sector, and we can have a regular tourism sector. Our performers there, other people out there, not that better than the Liberian beginner or Liberian guest there. No. So we can create that opportunity for competition. He can go out there and get Big Town festivals to come to Liberia, you know, to be involved with our people. And that's how we share our culture with the people out there. The vibrancy of Liberia, the beauty of Liberia, the different sites. You go to Sano, extremely beautiful. The beaches are just about access to getting people to get there and encouraging people to come. The way of life, yes, want to improve everything. But there are also some people who want a rustic kind of life. That means that no light, you know, no running water, no this. Some people want to live that kind of life. Some want to see, go into a village and see how people are living thousands of years ago. They know we still living like that right the days of our villages, you know. So giving people that experience is a natural thing. I walked the forest of Riverside for like 5-6 days moving from town to town. That could be an excursion, a trip for people. You come to Liberia. Yeah. You get to experience our rainforest, walk through the forest, go from village to village, blah, blah, blah. Yes, certain places we have put some solar panels and other things there that people can get, you know, running water or whatever, you know, that they need. But then they experience that environment that people live in and stuff like that. You come to the, okay, this is the day to go on the farm. So in the morning, 5 o'clock, you go to all the people, you'll walk through the forest, you'll go to the farm, you'll scratch the farm or do whatever you can do that day. So all of these are experiences that we can give people. Some people want to get from the grind of the concrete jungle they're in every day, working in the high rise, working in, you know, 50-story building. They want to go out in the culture and experience another people's own life, you know, their modes, their values, the way they live. So he's done all of those things I just mentioned, you know.
Yeah.
He helped his families of people, place like some clinics, some hospitals. So when people say, oh, the man's strange, that stranger will do all the things for you? No. That one of your people who believes in you, wants to work with you, wants to help you, they will do those kind of things.
Yeah. You know, Isaac, you know, Liberia have had this, you know, problem, and now it has extended to the overpopulation of Monrovia, the capital of Liberia. And Monrovia is just, it's a small piece of land, you know, almost like an island, almost like an island, Monrovia, and it's overpopulated. Everybody, almost everybody has left the counties, the various counties, and ascended into Monrovia. This is an issue where, from the past government, had not been made a priority to make the rest of Liberia as important as Monserrato County. So how can Mr. Cummings' government work towards that in decentralization, you know, of the government to incorporate, in, you know, inclusively the rest of Liberia, so that if somebody goes to Liberia and, you know, lands at RIA, goes to Monrovia, say, hey, man, I want to go to one of the counties and go spend a week there or something. He must be able to go there, have the same, you know, facilities there, you know. So,
and that's exactly what Mr. Cummings want to do, right? So he's right. Very strong on decentralization. But decentralization will come probably in a phased way, right? But he wants people to have administrative independence to a large extent. He wants to have financial independence. And then services come first. He wants to get it to a point where every service you can get in Monrovia, you can get it anywhere in the country, whether that license plate, whether that to pay your taxes, whether is the level of, you know, healthcare we need, public healthcare, yeah. Whether it's the education level. So it's a real decentralization he's focusing on. And it would take us providing incentives for people, you know. Let's say somebody from Vonjima or let's say Kwara Boni, somewhere far in Lofa there, who have been here in the U.S. for, you know, whatever amount of years, or being Monrovia for whatever amount of years. What incentives can we get in? Where you're special, the way you're older agriculture, okay. The government, you can import yourself, that tax-free, you know. Get to your county, be involved with it. I have my own personal theory, and, you know, I will share that with Mr. Cummings, that sometimes I believe 15 to 20 of the sons and daughters who have really advanced themselves go back into the county, the development of Liberia can accelerate. So you got to incentivize people. Yeah.
Isaac, you know what I realized, you know, talking about what you're saying right now, what has been some of the problem, you know, mm-hmm. is the ineffectiveness of superintendents, commissioners, and mayors. Because of the ineffectiveness, everything has been transitioned over to the senators and the representatives. And that has caused a lot of corruption because they are laying their hands on what superintendents and commissioners are supposed to be controlling. They should have their administrative body in those counties administering for their people,
right.
And creating revenues for their people, for those counties. That brings the importance of those counties. And exclude the senators and representatives from those activities, right?
Yes, there should be no money in no budget for any senator to go or representative to go do development. No,
right.
That should be the county responsibility. The county superintendent
exactly.
is like a governor for his state. Just
exactly.
about that's how it should be. If you look at
exactly.
the model in Nigeria, you see how the governor doing this for his state, doing this for Eagle State, doing this for Eno State, doing this for the other state, Lagos State, whatever. That's
yeah.
the responsibility, and because
exactly.
this whole imperial presidency where all the power of appointment for every position nearly lies with the president, that's why incompetence is so that the people are not accountable to the people. Like the president appoint me. Wow, what's wrong with you? You don't want to move me from here. So the people's voice limited in what they can do. That's why we need more competent sons and daughters going back to their counties where they can take leadership, and hopefully the election of superintendent, the election of mayors, and all those things can come about in a Cummings administration where real decentralization can come to the people. But coming with that, we also need some level of centralization within the counties. You can have 20
right.
people in one town and be able to get the kind of services you can get if you got 1,000 people in a town. So we've got to
right.
create critical mass of administrative locations where people come together and understand that we have to move this country forward. That the clan, the tribal thing and stuff, we got to kind of move it back a little bit and focus more on how we can, you know, collectively expand the presence of people in the county itself.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Mr. Topra, I will look, I can sit with you and discuss Mr. Cummings all day. All day. Because he's a very impressive candidate. He's the best Liberia has right now to lead Liberia into prosperity for all Liberians. And Liberians should really listen and do their homework. And this time when they go to the polls, don't make the mistake, because it's going to cost Liberia and the Liberians. You have a choice. You have a clear choice here. A clear choice of a man who is clean, who has earned everything in his life the honest and clean way.
My man, you just took two of the key words, clean hand, hardworking. That's what Mr. Cummings brings to the people, and most of our people can relate to that. You just have to understand how it translates to benefiting for them. Because right now, being corrupt and trying to get over other people or use other people to get ahead is all most of our people know. And we got to change those mindsets. That the values that you hold deep down inside us, we know we're good and we're bad. Deep down inside, we got to bring those good things out and do away with the bad things and learn to love each other, but at the same time, be honest and fair with each other. Your man wrong, your man wrong. Don't try to think you don't sweet talk. Don't say my own role a good role, but your own role need to go to jail. No. All roles need to go to jail. You know, and that's what that objective approach to leadership and governance and also giving people the opportunity to have input into decision-making is what Mr. Cummings represents.
That is so great. Well, Mr. Tokba, we are hoping to have you back again to have more discussions, informative discussion to the Liberian people about Mr. Alexander Cummings and, you know, their choice for presidency and a better and prosperous Liberia. So until we can get together again, could you make your closing statement? And we hope to have you again. It's been a pleasure.
I want to say, you know, thank you so much. We really appreciate the opportunity that you have given us to come and have a very good discussion with you. Your whole position in terms of doing your homework on Mr. Cummings is what more people need to do. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have access to the internet. They don't have access to, you know, just a library of information that they can research on Mr. Cummings. So we have to take that message to them. And Mr. Cummings is very committed to doing it. He believes in engaging the people. He believes in relationships. He believes in clean hands. He believes in hard work. He believes, you know, in those things that can move our country forward. But he also needs objective people who, like you, would do the independent stuff and be able to share that message with other people. So I really appreciate where you have come from, you know, that there doesn't have to be any kind of incentive for you to say, look, this is about Liberia. I think we need the best person. Done XYZ research, and I found this about this individual, and I think it makes me see. I want to speak to our ANC people. We don't have to demean anybody out there. We don't have to denigrate any competitor out there. We have a superior candidate. We have a superior product. Let's just try to sell the ANC under the leadership of Mr. Alexander Cummings for people to understand that ABC is the right thing. It's simple, the ABC. You know, it's not that difficult.
No, not at all.
Experience. And we talk about practical experience with results, though. We're not talking about experience. I just say I've been here 6 years, I've been here 12 years, I've been here 40 years. No. We're talking about practical experience with results. That's what we got to look at. Yeah. Exposure.
And a role model for the youth.
Network. Yes. Definitely, role modeling is very critical, and especially like who can, you know, engage the youth at that level, and they will see it. They will see the engagement with the community, and they will get to understand who the person is, you know. Yeah. So, in closing, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. You know, hopefully we can come on again Will he, you know, relocate to Liberia very soon? I don't know whether you in the U.S. or you in Liberia.
In the U.S., but you, okay. I mean, we can still do what we're doing while you're in Liberia, because I've done it with a lot of people from Liberia.
You know,
so, okay. I mean, I'm here, I'm willing, you know, and I'm already doing what I can do, you know.
Right, and that's
on behalf of the best choice for Liberia, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
that's the message you need to take to our people. We need a full set of government to come. I would say open your mind.
Exactly.
Get to know a little bit about each of your candidates. Decide who you think is the best to move this country forward. We believe our candidate is the best. But we also want you to develop that conviction that this candidate is the best candidate for Liberia. So, you know,
and thank you.
And I
believe more engagement and more education of the people about who Mr. Cummings is, what are his values, his principles, and what he can do for Liberia needs to be done. We need to engage them more and educate them more, you know. So,
no question. I just hope the ANC people listening, you know, especially those in the diaspora who may have some time to make telephone calls to people, who will be getting your call list for you to work.
Right.
Just, you know, call anybody who is on West Tower, even probably Taylor away. The same way with the ANC folks on the ground, that ground game, we have to strengthen it. We'll be walking miles and miles, you know. So you'll start working out and being fit. Because we got to go to the people door to door to let them know about the ANC. Let them know about McCummings. Let them know about what his vision is. Let them know about the plans he has with regards to the different sectors to move our country forward. So I want to really thank you for this opportunity. I want to talk to my ANC folks to please, you know, desist from being incendiary, insulting, degrading, degrading, you know. Just be on the positive side of advocacy. Talk about Mr. Cummings. Share him with people. If it's an argument or discussion, present your side of the case and let the people who will read or the people who will listen to decide. You don't have to insult somebody to win an argument. You know, it's just as simple as that. So thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to engaging you further, and I will lock your number in.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tukba. And we look forward also, hopefully, with your guidance to somehow bless us with Mr. Cummings to have an interview with Mr. Cummings also to ask him some of these important questions so that he can, you know, better, you know, explain himself to the Liberian people, because he is the best choice. No, there is no way around it. He is the best choice, and Liberia needs him. Liberia needs Mr. Cummings. So, Liberian people, this is it. Mr. Tukba, it's been a pleasure, you know, discussing with you. I have more questions for you. I have more questions for you. That's why I didn't even open the phone lines, because I had a lot of questions for you. But hopefully the next time we have you on, we'll open the phone lines for people to interact with you also. And we look forward to hopefully bringing in Mr. Cummings, allowing us to have a conversation with Mr. Cummings also.
But yeah, I bring Mr. Cummings to you. You'll be president, man. Oh, David, I don't get a man chance to tell people that, but it's there.
No, I will allow him to speak. I will allow him to speak.
I'm just easy.
You know, Isaac, I'm already doing my shows where I am, you know, talking about Mr. Cummings, trying to educate the people on who Mr. Cummings is. You know, this is crunch time. This is serious. This is no joke. Liberia is deteriorating. If Liberia does not put in the right administrator to control things and, you know, change things around, like Mr. Cummings said, if you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting the same results. We need somebody who is a visionary to bring in a new vision to change that trajectory of Liberia towards prosperity. So I thank you so much. I look forward to having you again to ask you more questions and to communicate with the Liberian people on that communicative level.
And I'm just sad that, you know, a lot of people probably out there have questions, and, you know, we've kind of gone to 12 o'clock already. But hopefully the next time we have dedicated time for people to ask questions.
Exactly. So thank you very much. You have a blessed and wonderful Saturday, you and your family. and we look forward to, you know, keeping in touch with you.
Thank you. I got to go clean the garage now. I got to do all my little things.
That's the Saturday right. choice, man, Mr. Tupper.
Yeah.
Have a blessed one.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, wait, 1 second before I go. All those people who are in the New Jersey area, we are doing a meet and greet today in New Jersey.
Okay.
The Delaware Valley chapter is meeting. I can just get the location, but for those who may want to, you know, attend, they can always call me. I'm available.
Okay.
My number, I don't keep my number secret, is 301-655-5984. I'm about to leave here in the next hour and a half, 2 hours, to get down there. But the location is 497 Dempsey Drive in Woolwich Township, in New Jersey. 497 Dempsey Drive. We are doing
Dempsey?
Dempsey, Dempsey. Dempsey Drive.
Okay.
Yeah. So if
all
you
right,
can... share that out there. That would be cool. Let our people then hear it. And hopefully some of them, a few people can join us. But we'll be doing that on September 11th. We'll be here in the Maryland, D.C. area in Laura having another meet and greet. So just let our people know.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Tupper.
Right.
Have a best
Bye-bye.
One.
You too.
You've heard the ANC newly appointed chief of staff, Mr. Isaac Vaatoba, and he's going to bring a lot to ANC and to Mr. Cummings, and we hope to have him again. It's Bismarck, Radio Talk 101.3. It's been a pleasure. We love you all out there. Have a blessed Saturday, and see you next Saturday, same time, same station. It's Bismarck here on Radio Talk 101.3.